Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to retell the greatest American story ever told. That would be the story of Abraham Lincoln. We are considering in this special broadcast the miracles and mysteries of Lincoln. Right now, taking a look at how this guy, who was about the most unlikely person you could imagine, a political loser with very limited experience, became President of the United States. Part of our special program, The Real Lincoln. The music of his campaign song that took him to the presidency in 1860, Lincoln and Liberty. That wasn't the secret, not by itself, though it helped. Lincoln, when we were left him last, was a 21-year-old, a just turned 22-year-old young man who had struck out on his own, left behind his father and his stepmother and what was left of his extended family, and left them behind to strike out on his own in Illinois. And one of the reasons that he had done it in the way that he did was he was very aware that under the law, all the work that he did before his 21st birthday, the money was supposed to go to his father. And Lincoln was very good about that. When he was splitting rails or working on a flatboat or taking trips down to New Orleans, the money went to his dad, to Thomas Lincoln. But now, 22, 1831, he walked off on his own into the Illinois wilderness, and then into the town of New Salem, Illinois. It's about 20 miles from Springfield. It was a bustling metropolis of 25 families. No, really, 25 families when Lincoln arrived. And how, in the course of 30 years, did he go from arriving in New Salem, Illinois, penniless, friendless, as he put, and he put it in his own recollections, strange. This is a point that David Vondrelli makes in his excellent book, Rise to Greatness, about Lincoln's greatest year, 1862. Lincoln could be the only major political leader who would ever describe himself at any time as strange. But he was. He was certainly a strange candidate for president of the United States, if you think about it. Here was a guy who ran for the state legislature, lost. Ran for Congress, lost. Ran for Congress again, lost. Got elected one term to Congress, then was so unpopular that he didn't even run for re-election, left politics, then came back, ran for the U.S. Senate, lost, ran for the vice presidency, lost, ran for the U.S. Senate again, lost, and then gets nominated president of the United States. How did that happen? Could it be because of his incredible good looks and charisma? Actually, he was regularly described, even by some of his supporters, as the homeliest man you ever saw. There is a story that when his wife met him for the first time, Mary Todd, she said to friends, "Mr. Lincoln is to be president of the United States someday. If I had not thought so, I would not have married him, for you can see he is not pretty." He was also not particularly careful about his dress, to say the least. One of the things that people noticed, even much later in life, after he became a member of the United States Congress very briefly, his clothes were a mess. He couldn't afford decent clothes. Very frequently, people would see him speaking in a political context, and there would be whole inches of his shins that would be visible in between the end of his pants, which were always too short because he was such a tall guy, and the top of his shoes. He used to wear what were called Conestoga shoes, which were very, very crude, ill-fitting, must have been terribly uncomfortable, and they were, well, I guess people would call them work shoes today. His clothes didn't fit. He didn't dress well. He was disorganized. In fact, his law partner, Billy Herndon, said he had no system, no order. He did not keep a clerk. He had neither library nor index nor cash book. When he made notes, he would throw them into a drawer, put them in his vest pocket, or into his hat. But in the inner man, symmetry and method prevailed. He did not need an orderly office, did not need pen and ink, because his workshop was in his head. Yeah, but nobody else could see that. By the way, he did stuff notes in the brim of his hat. He would take the lining of his hat and stick the notes inside his famous stovepipe hat. And people know, I think, the great story, which has the advantage of being true, that he wrote the Gettysburg Address on the back of a discarded envelope, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. He did write all of his material himself. So how is it that someone like this, about as unlikely a candidate as you can imagine, I mean, there are some people where you think, wow, this guy is going to grow up to be president. I don't think anyone could have even begun to imagine that about Abraham Lincoln, who arrives in New Salem, Illinois at age 22. At the time that he arrived, the reason he left his father more than any other, the biographers agree on this, is because he didn't want to be a poor farmer like his father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather. What did he want to do? Well, he seemed to be drawn to, no, not law, not yet, to business. When he first came to New Salem, he went to a local storekeeper named Denton Offutt and said, can I help around your store and you'll give me a place to sleep and I'll do chores for you? And he said, sure. And Lincoln began working in the store. The store went out of business, as a lot of frontier stores did. And Lincoln did all kinds of jobs around New Salem. He had already had some experience as a boatman. He built boats. He still did rails. He still chopped rails down. He later got a job as a surveyor. He taught himself to survey because George Washington had done that, and he was interested in that. And he taught himself how to do that from books. He also got a job briefly as a postmaster. One of the reasons he did that was because not only was it a job that paid a few pennies a day, but when you were a postmaster, you could actually read the newspapers as they came in. He loved newspapers his whole life. He liked writing for newspapers later, and that was one of the ways he honed his writing skills. He was interested in the idea of stores rather than farms. And with all of these odd jobs, after Denton Offutt's store went out of business, he had an opportunity with another friend of his who proved to be deeply, deeply unreliable to buy another store. And they did. They put up a lot of money. They borrowed a lot of money is what they put up. And the store, as Lincoln recalled it in his own inimitable way, operated for a while and then it winked out. And his partner disappeared and he was left holding the bag and what he referred to as the national debt. Now, we have a national debt right now of over $16 trillion. It must have felt like that to the young Abe Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln had a debt of over $1,100, which was a huge amount. That would have represented about 10 years of his life and what he earned. And a lot of people on the frontier, of course, would either leave town, as his partner apparently did. But this is one of the ways that he got his nickname, Honest Abe, is he was resolved to pay off every penny. And by the way, he spent 15 years paying it off and continued to pay it off up until the time he was in Congress and insisted on paying off every penny for his failed business venture. Meanwhile, he also was becoming, as you would in a tiny, tiny town, when you were keeping a store, working at somebody's store, and then running one of your own, you get to know everybody. And so he was urged by some of his friends, and at times he would sleep at different people's homes. This was the frontier. He would come and do chores, and they would provide him with some meals, and apparently had a pretty good appetite. They would take care of him. And one of the justice of the peace in New Salem, whose name was Bowling Green, really that was his name, urged young Abraham to run for office for the first time for the state legislature. Now, Illinois was a brand new state. Illinois had become a state in 1818. You're talking about 1831. It had only been a state for 13 years. It had a very limited population. It began with a state population of only 45,000 for the whole state. But running for the state legislature, well, Lincoln thought that was an interesting idea. He had become popular in part because of a wrestling match and in part because of service in a war. his only real war service, but he said that the only blood that he shed was to mosquitoes. We'll tell you about that and more in this very special broadcast, The Real Lincoln.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and when I invented my pillow, I wanted it to have everything you'd ever want in a pillow. You can adjust the patented fill to your exact individual needs. You can wash and dry my pillow. It has a 10-year warranty not to go flat, and it's made in the USA. And now, for a limited time, you can get a queen-size premium my pillow for the lowest price ever. Regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. That's a $40 savings. I'm also giving you deep discounts on all my MyPillow products, including my bed sheets, mattress toppers, and bath towels. Not only are you getting the lowest prices ever, but they make the best Christmas gifts ever. Buy now and I'll extend my 60-day money-back guarantee to March 1st, 2021.
Call 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MEDVED. Call 800-320-6280. Promo code MEDVED. On the MedVed Show, we like to call attention to numbers, statistics that are optimistic about our country. Well, here's one that's not so optimistic, but it's very, very real. There are now 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to aging, exercise, overexertion. Now, Relief Factor can help, particularly with the exercise-related pain or the general muscle aches and pains that many of us experience. I use Relief Factor myself, and I'm proud to do so because this is a great natural product with no medicines or drugs, no addictive qualities at all. Click on the banner at our website at michaelmedved.com for Relief Factor. Order that quick start. Get thanked by listeners for this all the time. I hope you become one of those thankful listeners too. Call 833-654-PAIN. It's toll free. 833-654-PAIN. Or go to the website michaelmedved.com and click on the big banner for Relief Factor.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
And we're probing the mystery this hour of how it is that someone like Abraham Lincoln, who suffered as many political reversals as he did successes, could actually rise to the presidency. What was the secret ingredient that allowed him to do that? The secret ingredient that allowed him to run for office initially, I mean, when he was all of 23 years old, it's extraordinary, in fact. When he ran the first time, he had just arrived in New Salem. But he was intensely popular with people. First of all, he was a new kid on the block. Secondly, unlike most people in that frontier environment, he had read everything he could get his hands on. He loved the poetry of Robert Burns, the Scottish poet. He had begun reading some law books, apparently, though it never occurred to him that he would be a lawyer. He read Shakespeare. He read the Bible. He loved to read newspapers. And because he loved to read newspapers and he had opinions on everything, that's why some of his friends said, oh, you ought to run for legislature, because you're talking about a frontier community in which a fine young man like that. But there was something else. He was also a good wrestler. And no, he wasn't at all like Jesse Ventura. But what happened here is shortly after he arrived in New Salem, he was a big, big guy, remember. He was 6'4". Just a quarter of an inch below that, actually, 6'3 and three quarters, if you want to be precise. A very, very tall guy at a time when the average height was 5'8, 5'7. So Lincoln was challenged fairly soon after he arrived by the local bully whose name was Jack Armstrong. And yes, that was really his name. He had a gang called the Clary Grove Boys, and they kind of were the tough guys in New Salem. And they tried to get this strange kid from Kentucky to a wrestling match, and he agreed to the wrestling match, and apparently the whole town came out to see it because it was in the fall of 1831. He was much taller, about 7 inches taller than Jack Armstrong, but Armstrong was powerful, and he was sneaky, and he was the undisputed champion of the region. They wrestled, and Lincoln won. He won because he had Armstrong in a lock, and then Armstrong pulled away. And that apparently in frontier wrestling rules meant that Lincoln won. And then Lincoln came up, offered his hand to shake, and said, let's call it a draw. And he made a lifelong friend. And he did. And Jack Armstrong was one of his big political supporters. But before he could even get his campaign much underway, he had declared his candidacy for the legislature, there was an Indian war. Chief Black Hawk, who was an elderly chief, led his warriors across the Mississippi and back into Illinois, and they started trying to recruit militia. They recruited a little group of militia from New Salem, and they promptly elected Abraham as captain. And yes, he served in the Black Hawk War. He had signed up for the militia. He served a total of more than a month, but they didn't see any action. They did come at one point across four scalped bodies, which sickened Lincoln when he saw them. But they never got involved in real fighting, and he said, the only blood I shed in the Black Hawk War was to mosquitoes. But he came home as the captain of militia. And then he had the opportunity to announce his candidacy. And he did so in the newspaper, of course, because he loved newspapers. But he also gave his first speech. They had a gathering, and the gathering was in New Salem in late July. And Lincoln delivered his first ever political address. And I can tell it over to you in its entirety. Here is what Abraham Lincoln said to the assembled multitudes. Fellow citizens, I presume you all know who I am. I am humble Abraham Lincoln. I have been solicited by my friends to become a candidate for the legislature. My politics are short and sweet, like the old woman's dance. I am in favor of a national bank. I am in favor of the internal improvement system and a high protection tariff. These are my sentiments and political principles. If elected, I shall be thankful. If not, it will be all the same. He didn't win. he was virtually unknown in most of the district. But in the precinct that included New Salem, he got 277 out of 300 votes. So he was very encouraged by that. And the next time he ran again, ran a more serious campaign. In the interim, he had been working as in the other store that he had launched, and he had also been working as a postmaster. And next time, when he ran for the legislature, he won. And he won handily and went down to the state legislature, which at the time met in Vandalia, Illinois. And one of the things that happened is Lincoln got reelected three times. He won four times in a row for the state legislature. And he very quickly became the Whig leader in the state assembly. He was a single guy. He was still a poor guy. He was not yet a lawyer. This is fascinating because for years and years and years, I think a lot of people think that Lincoln was a country lawyer who went into politics. It's not true. He was a politician who decided, as well as I'm doing this kind of thing, I might as well make a few dollars and become a lawyer. And as a matter of fact, when he was admitted to the bar, it was during his term in the legislature, and he joined a law firm together with a local congressman, who was, by the way, a cousin of his future wife. His name was John Todd Stewart. And Lincoln was a dynamo in the legislature, and everyone was impressed with him because he was smart. He was funny. He loved to tell stories, and he worked very hard at the business of the legislature. He had two big things that he concentrated on during his four terms in the legislature. One of them was internal improvements, building roads, building canals, trying to dredge rivers so that there, and he believed that was the right job and responsibility for state government. The other job he had was to move the state capital out of Vandalia, where for a growing state, by the time that he got to the legislature, the state had grown from 45,000 to over 200,000 population of Illinois in just 18 years. And by the time he got to the legislature, he wanted to move the state capital to Springfield. Why? Well, Springfield was in Sangamon County. It was in the same vicinity as his home in New Salem. And he succeeded in that. And as the minority leader in the legislature and someone who was widely respected, he got the entire state center of gravity shifted in his direction. And he was considered a comer, even though he was a lonely guy and still given to all sorts of intermittent depressions and problems. So how do you get from there to the presidency? The crucial element? Words. And his mastery of the language. How did that make him present? We'll tell you the rest of that story in this special broadcast, The Real Lincoln.
To purchase this special history program, The Real Lincoln, go to MedFitHistoryStore.com.
Whatever the controversies, whatever the surprises in the world around us at the moment, it's important to get some perspective. And no better source of perspective than the history of this great country. At MedVetHistoryStore.com, check out some of the titles we have on offer about the Constitution, about the origins of our tax system, about the history of third parties. Enrich your understanding and appreciation with CDs and MP3 downloads at MedVetHistoryStore.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
2020 is here. Millions of Americans from coast to coast rang in the new year mostly at home, finally putting 2020 in the rearview mirror. New York City's famed ball drop went ahead as scheduled, but the crowds that normally gather in Times Square were largely absent. Two Georgia Democratic Senate hopefuls have been accusing Republican Kelly Loeffler of campaigning with the Klansmen. Loeffler explains to Fox News how she ran into former KKK leader Chester Doyles at a photo line.
We kicked him out immediately. That was absolutely what we had to do. I had no idea who he was. He's gone. I denounce that. I do not believe in it, and he has no place around our campaign.
The Senate overrides President Trump's veto of a defense bill, 81-13. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
For the choice of the nation, our chieftain so brave and so true. We'll go for the great reformation, for Lincoln and liberty too.
But before Lincoln could go for the great reformation, for Lincoln and liberty too, he had to survive the state legislature in Illinois, where he served 8 years. He survived financially, partially because in 1837 he got his law license and began practicing law, and that helped him to pay off what he called the national debt, which he took very seriously. To get his first suit that he ever owned, he actually had to get an advance on what he was being paid to be in the legislature, which was initially about $200 a year. And he got an advance on that and bought his very first suit so he could turn up at the legislature in Vandalia, where it originally was, and looked somewhat respectable. There were all kinds of challenges for a young politician in Vandalia and then in Springfield, even for somebody as bright as Abraham Lincoln. Toward the end of his service in the legislature, he got involved in a controversy with the state auditor, whose name was James Shields. He was an Irish immigrant. He had a very, very sharp temper. And he was a Democrat, and someone who was on the complete opposite side of everything is Lincoln, who was very much a Whig and very committed to the Whig Party. At one point, Lincoln said that any good man is always a good party man. He believed in the Whig Party. He believed in its pro-business position very much. But what happened was that he wrote a letter to the newspaper, and he wrote it in a sort of disguising himself to be some female about how awful and disgusting James Shields, the state auditor, was, about how he smelled bad and he couldn't dance and all the women were laughing at him. And then at the time, Lincoln was already courting Mary Todd, who later became his wife, and she actually wrote a third letter. And there were three letters in the local newspaper.
And Shields was furious, and he went to the newspaper and demanded who wrote these letters, and someone said, Lincoln. So he confronted Lincoln publicly and challenged him to a duel. And this was a great concern to Lincoln, because Shields was known to be a crack shot. I mean, really a crack shot, and someone who was expert with pistols. Lincoln did not like, I'm sorry, Second Amendment people, he did not like handling firearms. He had shot a wild turkey when he was a child, and he didn't like hunting. He didn't curse in public. He really didn't. He was careful about that. He didn't chew tobacco or smoke tobacco or drink at all. In fact, he spoke for the Women's Christian Temperance Union, or the predecessor for that organization, in Illinois. In any event, when Shields challenged him to a duel, apparently his first reaction was, "You're kidding, right?" And he said, no, no, dueling is legal. We just have to cross the river into Missouri, and dueling's legal there, and I expect you to meet me on the field of honor. So Lincoln was unsure what to do, and then he found out that the way these things went, if you were being challenged by someone else, you got to choose the weapons. So Shields was expecting some kinds of pistols, one kind of pistol or another. Lincoln kind of surprised him. He said, let's use cavalry broadswords for this duel. Now, these can be fairly lethal, but Lincoln, being a very clever guy, understood that when you have such a big height advantage and such long arms, Lincoln was 6'4", James Shields was 5'7", that's a pretty substantial height difference. In any event, they went ahead. They were supposed to stand back to back and then take their swords and then come at each other and try to kill each other. And when they turned around, Lincoln faced Shields, and he just reached above him, and he's a towering guy, you have to understand. And with his sword, he took the sword and then swung it and lopped off a limb of a tree, and it came falling down. And apparently Shields saw what was going on here and saw that he was probably not going to do so well in a duel with swords and this much taller member of the legislature. And he said, okay, you think maybe we should call it a day? And Lincoln thought that was a very good idea. And they shook hands, and he survived. Politically, he also survived and, in fact, thrived. And his idea was to go to Congress, to follow his law partner who had been in Congress. And the difficulty, however, was that there were a bunch of other ambitious young Whigs. And Lincoln put himself forward as a candidate for Congress, was turned down, told to wait his turn. Second time, told to turn down and wait his turn. Then he went to Congress, but he went at exactly the most difficult time, a time of war, and a war that he opposed. Why? We'll tell you that and more on this special show, The Real Lincoln.
To purchase this special history program, The Real Lincoln, go to MedFitHistoryStore.com.
This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. President Trump's election year State of the Union address struck a different tone from his previous major speeches, an adjustment well-crafted to connect with shifts in the national mood. The president did not mention impeachment, never came across as aggrieved or defensive, instead exulting in real accomplishments of his first 3 years while honoring admirable Americans that his team had assembled in the galleries. This warmer, more optimistic approach reflected a remarkable Gallup poll showing increased confidence in the nation's direction. In rating the overall quality of life, a remarkable 84% called themselves satisfied, while, by a margin of 3-1, respondents felt satisfied at the opportunity for a president to get ahead by working hard. If the president continues to work hard himself to promote and reflect this sunny mood and steers clear of angry condemnation and complaint, he can help ensure his reelection and build a foundation for a successful second term. I'm Michael Medved.
One of the most surprising things about Abraham Lincoln's rise to the presidency is that he did not enjoy particularly good luck. In fact, quite the opposite. When he finally realized a long-standing dream and headed to Washington, D.C. as a member of the United States Congress after winning election in 1846, he arrived at exactly the wrong time.
He arrived at a time when the Whigs had lost narrowly to President James K. Polk a little while before, and with the United States involved in the war against Mexico. And as an anti-slavery Whig, Lincoln, in fact, used part of his time in Congress to campaign to end the slave trade in the District of Columbia, to build internal improvements, but he also used it to oppose James K. Polk in the war against Mexico. It was a popular war. It was a very successful war. And Lincoln's opposition, he introduced what were called the spot resolutions. He wanted an investigation, full investigation, of where the first shots in the war were fired. Were they fired in American territory, as President Polk said, or as Lincoln and many other Whigs suspected, were those first shots actually fired over in Mexican territory? In other words, were we involved in a righteous war or basically a land grab to get more space for more slave states like Texas? Because the annexation of Texas had one of the things that had just preceded the war. Anyway, it was not a popular position. Now, it's not true that Lincoln voted against appropriations for the troops in the field. When he ran for the U.S. Senate in 1858, that was used against him, and it wasn't true. He always voted for the appropriations. But he had taken this unpopular position against the war, and he didn't even attempt to win re-election to Congress. He basically retired from the field. Now, he had campaigned for Zachary Taylor, who was one of the heroes of the Mexican War, the Whig candidate in 1848, helped get him elected. And he campaigned in Massachusetts. He campaigned around the country as a congressman who was leaving office. And he expected he'd be rewarded with a plum position as head of the General Land Office. That would be like the Bureau of Land Management today. And he didn't get it. And instead, they offered him to become governor of the Oregon Territory. This did not sound good at all. And one of the reasons it didn't sound good, he considered it, is because Oregon Territory was known to be a hotbed of Democrats, and there would be no future for a Whig like Lincoln.
You're listening to a special history program, The Real Lincoln, on The Michael Medved Show.
In this great holiday season, maybe you're wondering about what you can buy for a person that has everything. Well, how about donating on that person's behalf to a child who has nothing? Being a third world nation, Uganda was hit particularly hard with COVID-19 and lockdowns. There are literally millions of parents who are looking into a child's eyes and not being able to tell them where the next meal can come from. One of the places it can come from is a great humanitarian organization that I am proud to link with here. It is called Next Generation Ministries, and they are there to help provide food and medical needs, particularly for children and their mothers. Your gift of $10 can feed a hungry child for an entire week. $40 can feed a child for a month. $200 can feed a family of five people for a month. Click on the banner at our website for Next Generation Ministries. This is a great organization. Click on the banner at michaelmedved.com. That's michaelmedved.com. With Election Day now behind us, our economic and social problems, well, they're still here. And people are uncertain about the future, of course, with a nervous world economy and coronavirus numbers still rising. Well, wealth protection is more important than ever. I've bought gold, silver, and even platinum from my good friend and coin and bullion expert for over 40 years, Nick Rovich. Nick owns AmFed Coin and Bullion in Arizona, and he has over 25,000 long-term satisfied clients all across the United States and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. He's earned a reputation for honesty, for expertise, and for trust among his peers and his customers. He's a court-certified expert, and AmFed is the only company I trust in that unregulated coin and bullion industry. Whether you're interested in acquiring or selling rare coins or precious metals, call AmFed Coin and Bullion at 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com, 800-221-7694, and learn more at AmericanFederal.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life Crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
You're listening to a special history program, The Real Lincoln, on The Michael Medved Show.
Rob for the choice of the nation.
So he went back to Springfield and began practicing law. He got some pretty good clients, as a matter of fact. He had, by this time, soon thereafter, a new partner, a young man named William Herndon, who later became his closest friend and later his biographer. But one of the things that Don Fehrenbacher, who wrote a terrific book, it's called Prelude to Greatness, Lincoln in the 1850s, and it's a classic book about Lincoln's preparations for his rise. He did not quit on politics. He basically was biding his time. And the way it's often told is, well, when the slavery issue came back again with the Kansas-Nebraska Act, then he, because of idealism alone, came back into the race. Now, he had a long and passionate commitment against slavery, but it was much more than that. He also had personal ambition. And what happened is when this agitation began and the Whig Party began to fall apart and this new Republican Party came into being, this was one of the opportunities that he seized. He was fairly late in joining the Republicans and leaving the Whigs, but when the Whigs collapsed altogether and there was a Republican convention, he spoke at that convention in Bloomington, Illinois, and he gave a speech that is called his Great Loss Speech. And it electrified everyone who was there. In fact, so much so that the people who were supposed to be writing it down forgot, and people were crying and cheering. We still don't know exactly what he said in this Great Loss Speech, but people who described it said it was one of the most remarkable things they'd ever heard. And after that Great Loss Speech, he ran for the legislature again, got elected, but then promptly resigned his old legislative seat to run for the United States Senate. And this was partially because the Republicans had an excellent chance, much better than the Whigs did, of taking over the state legislature. And in those days, the U.S. senator was elected by the state legislature. The problem was that it was complicated, all the divisions. One of his opponents for the U.S. Senate, and he was originally the front runner, was James Shields, the same guy he had fought in the duel. But they both lost. It ended up going to an anti-slavery Democrat named Lyman Trumbull, who later became Lincoln's great ally. Even though he didn't win in the Senate, his name was put forward in 1856. First time they ran a Republican candidate for president, they put forward Lincoln's name as a vice presidential candidate. Why? Because Illinois was considered one of those key states that the Republicans had to win if they had any chance of winning the presidency, and Lincoln was a favorite son of Illinois. He didn't get that nomination. But the man of the hour, the fellow who had provoked so much of the re-eruption of the slavery issue, was Stephen Arnold Douglas. And he was referred to as Stephen Benedict Arnold Douglas by people in his home state of Illinois. He had reopened the whole debate about slavery with the Kansas-Nebraska Act. And Lincoln was the obvious one to run against Douglas, who was the senator from Illinois. He had been almost the Democratic nominee for president in 1852 and then again in 1856. And everyone knew he would get the Democratic presidential nomination in 1860. So running against such a prominent person was a very big deal. Douglas was an amazing guy. And he was, they now say, they used to say Douglas was 5'4", Lincoln was 6'4". Douglas was called the Little Giant when Lincoln was running against him for Senate. They called him Abe the Giant Killer. Well, actually, Douglas was probably closer to 5 feet. He was very, very short. But he had a huge booming voice and lots of pretensions. He traveled around in his own private rail car. And they had a little cannon behind the caboose in which he traveled. It was all elegant and well. And the cannon was dragged along as so that they would fire it whenever he would come to a town so people would know that the great man was there. Lincoln told the great man, well, okay, let's debate. Now, no one had done this before. But the 7 debates in which they engaged, 3 hours each, by the way, with no interruptions or commercials, that changed American history in the course of Lincoln's life. Tell you how, coming up.
You're listening to a special history program, The Real Lincoln, on The Michael Medved Show.
You're listening to a special history broadcast of The Michael Medved Show. For more history programs, go to MedvedHistoryStore.com or become a Medhead at MichaelMedved.com. And check out our new history podcast for premium members called In Light of History.
We'll go for the great reformation, for Lincoln and liberty too. We'll go for the boy from Kentucky, the hero of Hoosier Love Crew. Pride of the suckers, so lucky for Lincoln and Liberty.
And for Lincoln and Liberty, too. Lincoln launched his campaign for the U.S. Senate against Stephen Douglas, and it was known to be a very much an uphill campaign with one of the most famous speeches in American political history. He launched the campaign by saying, "A house divided against itself cannot stand," quoting the Bible, of course. Then he said, "I believe this government cannot endure permanently half slave and half free. I do not expect the Union to be dissolved. I do not expect the House to fall. But I do expect it will cease to be divided. It will become all one thing or all the other. Either the opponents of slavery will arrest the further spread of it and place it where the public mind shall rest in the belief that it is in the course of ultimate extinction, or its advocates will push it forward till it shall become alike lawful in all the states, old as well as new, north as well as south." 7 debates with Douglas. 3 hours each. The way these debates worked, and Douglas was foolhardy to agree to it, he knew Lincoln was formidable. Lincoln had contempt for Douglas. Douglas was frightened of Lincoln. The debates worked that the opening speaker spoke for an hour, uninterrupted. Then the second speaker had an hour and a half. Then the original opening speaker concluded with another half hour. They spoke to crowds of up to 30,000 people. Most of the crowds were above 20,000 people. This is in 7 small towns throughout Illinois. The substance of the debates changed American history, and it made Lincoln a national sensation. Yes, he lost. He won more votes in the end than Douglas by just a few thousand votes statewide. He won by about 5,000 votes with more votes than Douglas, but because the legislature had been gerrymandered by Democrats, Douglas got reelected. Lincoln lost his Senate seat, and then he commented that, well, he would now fade away from politics. He had lost for the Senate the second time, hadn't gotten the vice presidency, had the one term in Congress. But he had become an inspiration to those people in the country who saw slavery as a profound moral issue. And with Stephen Douglas as the certain Democratic candidate for president, the beginning of a campaign for Lincoln and liberty, for making Abraham Lincoln the next president of the United States, began in earnest. It was all based on the power of words. His words at the debates, his words of his speeches, including the Great Lost Speech, and the speeches that were to come. remaining question? Given his background and given his limitations in education and military experience, how did he become one of the greatest war leaders in the history of the planet? That is part of the story and part of the inspiration to be taken from this account of the real Lincoln, who benefited so greatly this greatest nation on God's green earth.
To purchase this special history program, go to MedvedHistoryStore.com.
This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. As the presidential campaign heats up, leaders over 70 control our politics. If Trump wins re-election, he'd be 78 at his term's end, the oldest president ever. Elizabeth Warren would be 75. Joe Biden and Michael Bloomberg would both be 81. And Bernie Sanders, well, he'd hit 83. Meanwhile, Speaker of the House Pelosi is already 79, and Senate Leader Mitch McConnell, 77. New York Attorney Thomas Dewey notes this domination by senior citizens is something new. Bill Clinton took office at age 46 and George W. Bush followed him at 54, beating the 52-year-old Vice President Al Gore. Mr. Dewey seems puzzled by these contrasts, but they actually reflect the unshakable domination of government and culture by baby boomers, who ruled the roost in their 50s and still hold sway in their 70s. Members of this post-war population bulge could still reign past their 80s, or more plausibly, 2020 will be their last hurrah. I'm Michael Medved.
How much pain is too much pain? General muscle aches and pains from getting older, exercise, and everyday living can be frustrating. Is $19.95 too much to spend to see if you can get out of pain? This is why Relief Factor is doing so well across our great country. Pete and Seth Talbot decided to discount their cost of the 3-week quick start to only $19.95. That's less than the average cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. $19.95 might be the best investment you make in 2020. Call 833-654-PAIN or go to MichaelMedved.com.
Business books are the ultimate marketing tools that differentiate companies, professionals, entrepreneurs, doctors, and dentists from the competition, but it takes too much time and frustration to write and publish a book all on your own. That's where my friend, New York Times bestselling author Michael Levin comes in. He runs a writing firm that prepares the highest quality ghost-written business books quickly and affordably. Michael and his team are responsible for over 700 books, including two New York Times bestsellers. For more information, go to our website, MichaelMedved.com, and click on the banner for Writing Help. That's Writing Help at MichaelMedved.com.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.